Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Norristown, PA. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2026, and we're reading in the Big Book, More About Alcoholism. We're on page 30, the second paragraph, and it starts with, we learned that we had to fully concede, and it ends with, has to be smashed. All right, our readers, 12 steps, Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Kelly H, starting us off reading and the text and sharing is Julie G, page 164 is Mara Z, backup reader is Colleen M, newcomer greeters Felicia S, second hour host is Pam SR, and Leslie M is going to be taking care of the announcements. Share ID for yesterday, Thursday, April 9, 2026. 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,352. That's 23352. And a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,353. 23353. Doa Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's Fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P. to share the 12 steps.
Yes, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Kelly H. with the 12 tradition.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina. Here are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. An OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation for all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Kelly. And once again, thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what we've read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing the topic and literature we're discussing, that you keep your share at approximately 3 minutes. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we're back in more about alcoholism, and it's, I believe it's page 30, second paragraph, starting with, we learn that we have to fully concede, ending with has to be smashed. And we're just sharing on that paragraph. And Julie G is going to start us off.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie G. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered for today in Pennsylvania. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently may be, has to be smashed. Holy moly. I can't believe that I get to read this small but mighty paragraph. What a gift and a blessing. And what strikes me so much is just the power of the language. I remember the first time that I read this, these words and this chapter, and it was back in, I mean, wasn't that, it was in 2021. It hasn't been that long for me, but in that time, through a couple times around the block here, leaving and coming back, I have always been struck by how impactful this chapter is, where the writers teach us more about our disease and how much it is a disease of the mind. And at this point, thank you, God, I have fully conceded. And that has really opened the door to recovery for me. So I wanted to look, because I do think the language is so important. What does it mean to fully concede? And because I had a sense of it, of course, right? Google says, right, it's to completely admit that a fact, point, or argument is true, valid, undeniable after initial resistance, to totally surrender a position. And I had to totally surrender the position that I had any power in this matter. I had to yield that power to God and see very clearly that for all these years, I have been living in a delusion to believe and try again to prove that I'm a normal eater. And so when it comes down to it, the question for me is like, what's it going to be, Julie? Are you going to live the rest of your life in a delusion? Or can you face the truth with support and access a power that can save your life? There's so much more in this chapter. I'm so excited that we're getting into it. There's so much more for us to learn about the twist of the mind, because that is where it's at. That's why I need a solution. I don't need a solution so much for the allergy of the body. The solution to that is not eat or do the things that trigger the allergy, but I need a solution for my mind. And that can only come from
time.
Working to, thank you, to connect with my higher power and to access the help of that power. And I can't wait to hear the other shares. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it. Excuse me. We're going to open up with lines for sharing. And although we vary your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. And I take people's names, first initial or last name, where you're calling from, one at a time, please. And I will definitely let you know where we're at throughout the meeting. Who would like to share? All right, Melissa C. I think I got Colleen M.
Nancy
B. Kelly
Ken.
F. All right, Ken and Roy.
Roy
C. All right. Was there a Melissa S?
Yes, S.
All right, Liz S. And then who else was that?
Lisa
K.
Lisa
Joe
B. Donna K.
Hold on. Lisa.
Mara,
Joe B. Mara.
Roz G.
Roz. I knew there was somebody in there.
Thank you.
Donna K.
Donna. I think this is good enough list for the first round. Thank you for bearing with me. Sorry about that. I'm not the greatest with the ears here. So Melissa C., Colleen M., Kelly S., Ken W.H., Roy C., Liz S., Pete B., Lisa Joe B., Marzi, Roz G., and Donna K. All right, Melissa, you're up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York, and, I think about this delusion, and that it's got to be smashed, and that I'm not like other people, that I am, this distinct entity. I am different from other people, and that this smashing of it, it's not pretty. It didn't come like gently. It required for me like a lot of like banging my head against the wall, like running up against this thing, constantly trying to prove that I was like other people. And I think for myself, the most dangerous times was when my body looked like I was like other people, meaning when I had lost enough weight, I thought, I had cured myself. Maybe I'm okay now, maybe maybe I can just, you know, use a little bit of my own management and strategy. And, you know, and that always led to, let me just take a bite of this and see how that goes. Surely I'll be able to control it now. But, you know, I can't. And here's the other thing I know, that that phenomenon of craving, right, that is what makes me different from other people. But, you know, but I also have a brain that's really broken, and that given enough time on my own power, somehow I will forget or fool myself or, you know, I don't know, manipulate myself into thinking that I don't suffer from this physical allergy, this phenomenon of craving. And that is, you know, and what makes me now today unable to be like other people is that I have a design for living that I have to cling to, meaning I can't behave the way that normal people, you know, around me at times can behave who don't have this phenomenon, you know, this specific food problem or whatever problem, you know, drink problem, whatever addiction it is. Because if I don't live by this design for living, if I live the way that other people live, you know, whether I get worked up about things in my workplace or politics or family situations, my mind will bring me back to eating again. And, you know, that delusion that I am like other people, thank you, God, has been smashed. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Appreciate it. Next up is Colleen M., followed by Kelly S.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thank you. Colleen M.
Good morning.
Here, a grateful recovered compulsive eater in Maryland. And, well, there's so many favorites, but these are two of my favorite sentences in the whole big book. And it is a cornerstone for me in my recovery. God is one cornerstone, and this concept is the other, that I spent so many years trying to convince myself that I was not a compulsive overeater, that I could manage my food. And the food kept taking me back. The power of the food has brought me to the surrender and also hearing the truth, coming to meetings where there were other people who understood this concept and shared it with me, even though I a lot of times wasn't ready to hear it. I didn't want to give up the foods that I love so much, even though they were making me miserable, which is, I guess, another sign of an addict. But once I finally fully conceded to my innermost self, once I finally understood the power of this disease and put the food down, and then actually started being able to hear all the other concepts, work the 12 steps in a completely abstinent state, I got the promises that this book offers. But this delusion for me that I am like other people, and even though I've been abstinent now and at the same weight for many years, just a miracle in itself, I have to continue to come back here so that the delusion that I've got this thing, and I've been on many diets where I've lost the weight, as it was said before, and thought, all right, well, now I can eat moderately, like all these people. People that don't understand this disease will tell me that I can eat moderately. Just have one, just a bite. I've done that. I've tried that a million times, and the bite turns into, you know, months of binges. Where I wind up, you know, demoralized and, you know, sicker than sick. So this to me, when I'm working with others, this cornerstone that I have to, we all have to concede to our inner self. If I don't concede that I have this disease, I'm not going to be willing to do the rest of the steps and do the work that is required for me to stay not only abstinent on food, but, you know, sober and willing to do the rest of the steps on a daily basis. So I'm just excited that, you know, people will maybe hear this message and for the first time start to get it. And in the beginning, I just had to follow the directions of a sponsor who had what I wanted. And now I have a higher power and other recovered fellows that continue to help me grow, change, and heal, and hopefully be the woman that I always wanted to be, but in the food couldn't be. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Colleen. Next up is Kelly S., followed by Ken W.H.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Hey, guys. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good to be here. Glad to share on this paragraph. Grateful, Julie, thanks for that definition of conceding. It was pretty powerful. I really wanted to share about my experience with this paragraph because I've been in these rooms, you guys know, for decades, and it took me a long time. You know, I came in these rooms and it seemed easy to say, oh, I'm a compulsive overeater. I admit that. But truly, truly accepting that in my heart, you know, one of the messages I used to hear, whether it was being said or not, but what I would hear was, okay, can you just not have cake today? You know, maybe tomorrow, but just today, can you not have that cookie? Just for today, can you not have that? Well, the book makes it clear over and over that I have to concede to my innermost self, I will never be able to do those things again. You know, this one day at a time thing, that means how I'm living life, not means how I'm eating, right? It says later in the book, no lurking reservation that I will ever be normal, right? And it seemed easier, not easy, but I was able to accept my alcoholic foods a little bit easier than my food behaviors. I mean, come on. Well, I mean, how does that get the phenomenon of craving going? I struggled with that one. That's the last thing I've struggled with till the very end of this last abstinence and recovery I have today. But all kinds of gambling and sex and relationships, right? But how does just eating a little extra vegetables get me off? I don't know, you guys, but those BLTs, those bites, licks, and tastes, start that phenomenon of craving for me, and I can't do it. And you know, I get a little bit of abstinence behind me. I'm doing okay. I mean, come on, it's not really that big of a deal, is it? It's just a little extra chicken. It's just a little extra this. You know, it sets off that craving. It took me a while to realize I am not like normal people. My abstinences, refraining from certain foods and food behaviors, whether I understand it or not, that's the disease, part of the disease that I have, and it gets that going, right? And I had to understand, I had to smash that idea that I can just eat spontaneously. I can't, right? And so I had to finally accept that, and it took me decades. So if you've been around, just think about that. What is it I'm just not willing to truly accept that I can never do again? Do I want to be free? And then I'm not like normal people in any way. So yeah, the allergy to the food, if I just stop the behavior, stop the food, that takes care of it. But what about this mental obsession that drives me back every time that thinks this time will be different? I'll get it back to under control. I can do it. Well, if I keep thinking that, I'm not going to search for this solution. And what is that? It's this other power. I don't have power. I need God. And until I accept that I need that help, that I cannot do that, I'm not going to work this program like I needed to. Gratefully, today I have that acceptance, and I am working this program, and I do have a relationship with God, and God today is keeping me abstinent and in a recovered state of mind and body. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Kel. Appreciate you. Next up is Ken W.H., followed by Roy C. Star one, Ken.
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you. Thanks, Russ, my brother. I'm here. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I learned that this one, it's interesting. It says that I learned, which means I got something in my head, that it isn't about my head when it comes to where the power is. The power is inside, in my innermost self. And it's that sense of the presence of that power of God, the God of my understanding, inside of me is the solution. I love the way it says this so succinctly. This is the first step in recovery. I learned that my head wasn't going to get it done, that it had to get into the inside, into my inside, so to speak, and it took me a long time to get there. I was just in denial for so long, self-delusion for so long about actually having this disease that it took me some 30 years before I was actually able to say I had never been abstinent, as much as I'd gone to meetings and put down certain foods or tried to and all of that. It took 30 some years for me to finally say that I'd never been fully abstinent. I'd always had some form of the food, some form of the trigger food in my body. And I had to learn to my innermost self that I wasn't going to be able to do that and function normally, that I had to let go of the idea that I could function the way other people were functioning, and I had to make changes. And I did learn in my innermost self that concession, that surrender, if you will, of letting go of my need to be in control of everything, especially my food. So I am very grateful that I'm here today. I am undelusioned, if that's a word. I know who I am and what I am, and I'm grateful that I've learned that the power is inside of me, and it ain't me. It's something that's come from outside, and I know that God for me today. And thanks a lot. I pass.
Thanks, Ken. Next up is Roy C., followed by Liz S.
Good morning. This is Roy C. I'm calling from Southern New Jersey. And saying hello to everybody out there this morning. This passage is brought to mind the Serenity Prayer for me. It's something that I use not too often in my life. And the serenity to accept the fact that I'm a compulsive overeater, and that it's a fact, and I need to be able to accept it, and the courage to change the things that I can. I can change the way that I eat and my behaviors through the 9 tools of recovery if I use them. This morning, yeah, I plan on using them and doing the very best that I can. And the wisdom to know the difference, the wisdom to know that with this disease, I'm different from most other people in the world. And I have to go about thinking that way. And I'm going to do my very best. I thank God that I'm abstinent at this moment. I pray that I'll be abstinent tomorrow. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Roy. Before Liz S. gets up here, let me let you know where we're at. We're more about alcoholism, page 30, second paragraph, starting with, we learned that we had to fully concede, ending with, has to be smashed. All right, Liz, you're up.
Thanks, Russ. This is Liz S. in Beaverton, Oregon. I am a recovered compulsive eater. And the reason I can say that is that I'm recovered from the inside out. I used to think that I was recovered from the outside in. And what do I mean by that? I had to concede to my innermost self. And that just taking actions that were in line with the tools and in line with my abstinence plan and in line with the directions of my sponsor felt like a cage, you know, and I was like beaten against the bars from the inside. I was doing the things I needed to do to lose weight. I lost weight. For 6 years, I was focused on the outside and had this abstinence that I thought was real, but I hadn't fully conceived it. I hadn't admitted to my innermost self. I thought that because my outermost self looked good, that I guess I'm absent, you know? And I guess I've accepted everything. Well, it wasn't until just people sharing today that I realized that I still try to maintain control in little tiny ways, and I have to accept the fact that that's a last stronghold, and I need to find a way to get inside that through my higher power, through acceptance, through surrender, through all the things people have been talking about, and the shares have been magnificent today, that I am a compulsive eater, and I have to accept that deep down. And I hate it that I am, but I am learning to accept it. And just because I accept something doesn't mean I have to like it. I just have to accept it. So thank you very much for this opportunity, and I pass.
All right, Liz, thanks so much. Next up is Pete B, followed by Lisa Joe B.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. So what exactly is it that makes the alcoholic different from other people? What is it that makes the compulsive over different from other people? Well, it's certainly not the thinking. It can't be the thinking. I mean, you know, 70% of our society is overweight. I think almost 50% of those people are morbidly obese. So my thinking is probably more like everybody else's than it is abnormal. And the thinking gets corrected. That's why it tells us we get restored to sanity. Right? It's not that food brings me ease and comfort. You know, why do they take cake and pastries to Shiva? Because everybody gets ease and comfort from cake and pastries. Right? So it's not that it makes me feel good. It makes everybody feel good. Right? It's not that I'm addicted to eating. I mean, being addicted to eating didn't cause me to gain 35 pounds in a month. That caused me to start eating, but that's not the thing that kept me eating. That's not the thing that makes me different, because there are plenty of people that are addicted to plenty of things. I'm still addicted to plenty of things. Plenty of things. That's not what makes me different. That's not what makes us different. What makes us different is the reaction we get to those things once we put them in our body. And for a long time, I never understood that. I thought that this was a practice of improving my life, you know, improving my behavior, fixing things that I thought were broken. Well, there are parts of my personality that just, they're my personality, and they're not going to be fixed. I'm going to have to learn to accept them. And one of the things about my being, the way I was constructed by the Creator, is that I have an abnormal sensitivity to certain foods, certain ingredients, and for some of us, certain behaviors that once ingested or engaged in, they trigger craving. And once craving starts, no human power removes it. No reach around call or intervention from a sponsor or a group of people is going to stop the craving from occurring. That is the thing that kept me from experiencing all the things that you find people talk about when you describe being recovered, is that I never, ever, ever got entirely abstinent. I was abstinent-ish. I weighed and measured alcoholic foods, thinking I was doing the right thing, reporting them to somebody. Still didn't get me recovered. Still didn't get me what happened, right? So I had to buy into the... I'll shut up. Never mind. Goodbye. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate you, bro. All right. Next up is Lisa Joe B, followed by Mars D.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you for your service. Yeah, has to be smashed. Is my experience right now in this present that it is painful. Like yesterday, I went across town to get my picture taken with my team, and a bunch of people decided to bring a lot of food, things that are absolutely not alcoholic foods for me. And it hurt to be in the same room with them. And I became really sad with grief that I can't be around this. I can't partake it. I'm in the early hospitalization period. So I asked my supervisor if I could talk to her out in the hallway, and I explained what was going on, that I'm working a very structured OA program. She knows that I've been involved in that, and that I really would rather not be in the same room with all this food. And by God's grace, she let me go home. And I keep wanting to find a way to embrace a quote-unquote fact that I don't have a problem, that I'm not different from other people. But God and fellows in this program are teaching me that I'm a real compulsive overeater. I can have what I want if I want to get well. I still want to believe in my own lies still, and it's very upsetting for me. And this idea that has to be smashed hurts really bad. Like, that's my experience, but I have hope, and I keep turning to God to accept his help. And through fellows in the program, it's like we're all geared toward being in touch with our higher power. And you all are helping me. You all are helping me because I'm opening my heart to you. And I made so many program calls yesterday, awkwardly speaking, not knowing what to say, but God directed me, and I heard my sponsor say in my head to make those program calls, and so I did. And I'm sober today, so by the grace of God, I couldn't do this myself. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Lisa Joe B., where are you calling in from? I didn't get that.
I'm calling from Colorado, from Denver.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Next up is Mars Z, followed by Roz G.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service today and always. Oh, my gosh. This brings me back to a point in my life where I had blatantly admitted to myself, although I didn't know it at the time, that I had not fully conceded. I sat here and I thought to myself, one of these days I'm not going to have to do all this shit. I'm not going to have to weigh and measure. I'm not going to have to call a sponsor. I'm not going to have to do the steps. That was a stark awakening. But it didn't hit home until years later when I remembered that a incident. A very wise sponsor introduced me to the power of this sentence. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. Not the first step to the 12 steps, but the first step in recovery is admitting to myself, is to fully concede, to know without a shadow of a doubt that I am going to have to weigh and measure my food one day at a time. I am going to have to work these steps and live in 10, 11, and 12 one day at a time. And by God's grace and mercy, I've strung together a little over 6 months. This is a miracle in my life. From the girl who thought she didn't have to do all this stuff or she wouldn't have to do all this stuff, to the girl who says, thank you, God, that all I have to do is this stuff. All I have to do is weigh and measure my food. All I have to do is work the 12 steps. All I have to do is one day at a time reach out for my higher power and let him into my life and know that he will never leave me to face my perils alone. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Mar. She's from Virginia. All right, next up is Roz G. and then Donna K.
Hey, Russ. This is Roz G. I am a compulsive overeater, recovered by the grace of God in Palmdale, California. And I have, you know, some notes in my big book here, and I have the word circled, learned. And to learn something is a process. This did not happen overnight. It took me a lot of mishaps, mistakes, pain. Pain was the biggest motivator for me. And, you know, as we've been hearing, fully concede, to admit I'm wrong, to say I give up, to wave the white flag. In fact, I was at an AA convention years ago, my sponsor was, and she said, I have something for you. It's a little table decoration. It was white flags that they put on all the tables for the dinner or whatever they had. I'm going to give one to you. And I have that in my room, and I look at it every day in the morning when I do my morning routine. But I'd say the most powerful concession for me is to get on my knees and ask God for help and to do what this big book says every single day. To me, that's it's practicing concession, because my keen alcoholic or compulsive overeating thinking, my built-in forgetter, will tell me, well, she's doing it, or he's doing it, or the person on TV is doing it, I can do it, when that is delusional. That's, you know, falling for a lie or being hijacked by a thought that is untrue. So every day I practice what this big book tells me to do, and it brings me peace. And when the tumults of life come along, it takes me through it. And every day I concede. Every morning I ask God to divorce my thinking from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Every morning I ask God to help me pause when agitated or doubtful. Most of the time I do. Sometimes I don't. But this daily concession works. And I'm so grateful for the beautiful life that I have today. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Roz. Next up is Donna K. And then we're going to take another list.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. This is Donna Kay. I'm from Pennsylvania, but I think I might be listed as Donna Kay in Maryland. I'm not sure. This is the first time I've ever shared in probably 20 years. So bear with me. We have to fully concede. I have to fully concede to my innermost self that I have to trust in God. It is not my control. It's none of it. I'm not normal. I'm abnormal, and I must fully surrender to this program and to God's will for me. I am powerless, and I need God to stay abstinent. I need God to guide me every day. I need God to give me words to speak. If this program is amazing, but I have to fully concede, and I must be willing every single day, every hour of the day, that I am not going to be able to go back to what I used to do, because what has it gotten me in 70 some years? It's gotten me back and forth like a big fat yo-yo, up and down, up and down. And I'm tired of being up and down. I want to be on a level plane, there with peace and surrendered, and I pass.
All right, Donna, thank you. So let me let you know where we're at before we take the next list. I think we could take three more. So we are in more about alcoholism, and on the second paragraph on page 30. We learned that we had to concede, ending with has to be smashed. And I missed Nancy C. in the first round. So, Nancy, if you want to take a share, and then we could take two more real quick.
Lisa B.T.
Lisa.
Jason W., San Diego.
All right, Jason. That should be good. Nance, you're up.
Russ, thank you so much for hearing me. My name's Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I've learned I just have to keep screaming my name if I'm going to get into a lineup here. But, you know, I'm a slow learner. And I grew up understanding that close was good enough. And I've carried that through my whole life. So this fully concede stuff, I conceded to the fact that I had a problem with eating and came into these rooms and got a food plan, got a sponsor, went through the steps, and really did find that the promises coming true. And then that was close is good enough. I've done it once. I don't need to continue. You know, all of a sudden, the sudden lies started to creep in that I didn't need to do 10 steps all the time. I didn't need to really exactly weigh and measure my food. I didn't need to question some of the things that were creeping into my food because I did not concede to my innermost self that I'm different. I'm a distinct entity. And it's not just with the food. It's with every thought I have. If I think I've got some clever idea, I better run to my sponsor or to a fellow and ask them just how clever or unclever that really is. Until I really understood that being a distinct entity was in every single facet of my life, how I conduct myself, what I do, how I treat people, that this program has given me the fruit of living happy, joyous, and free if I do what the book says, and that's give everything to God in the morning and then follow direction. And when I start then lying myself and thinking I'm unique and can do things a little differently, I have to come right back to that smashing of that idea because I am no different than anyone in this room, no matter how many times I think that I am. God has saved me once again, and this time I truly believe that my thinking that I'm not like other people has truly been smashed, and that the sudden lies stay out of my head when I have the grace of God and the fellowship around me, and with that I pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Nance. Appreciate you. Sorry about that. So could Lisa BT and Jason W take 2 minute shares, and then we'll be locked up if we do that, if you don't mind.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And thanks, Russ and Team Friday. Lisa BT, recovered in Guelph, Ontario, near Toronto. I get to say that word recovered because I've been working with my sponsor through all the steps. And I've never worked through the steps in quite this way before. And it has been 20 years this week that I first came to food recovery. And I would say for 19 of those, I really had a profound misunderstanding. And that was that ultimately I could, you know, concede, I could do these things, but it was all me, me, me. And it was really a form of white knuckling. And it was on this meeting, this line, I heard someone say some time ago now, maybe about a year ago or more, they said, you know, I'm in a place of neutrality around food. And I have to say, that was news to me. I really thought this was a case of every single day I would be white knuckling. And I can hear now with such clarity the, well, it's still down to me, reliance on self. And so I just would like to report that at this past week, I was at some good friends. And they make a big fuss over dessert, spend the day making it, that type of thing. And I was, you know, I said, oh, well, this is what I had some fruit that I had and so on. And it was so different. It was easy. It was comfortable. People said, oh, is that? I said, yep. And they went, oh, that's nice. And we moved on. And for 19 plus years, I had been feeling hard done by that I don't get to have what everybody else has. They'll think I'm weird, it's embarrassing, et cetera. And there was none of that. It was just so simple and easy. And
time.
I'm unbelievably grateful. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa. Next up is Jason W., and you're going to be our final share.
Oh, thank you, Russ. Thanks for your service. Wonderful. I enjoy your humor. I really like this a lot. My name is Jason W. I'm out in San Diego, recovered compulsive overeater. And I was just thinking about something that maybe other people can relate to, maybe not. But the delusion that we are other, like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed can apply to I'm one of those people who really likes to get on Facebook and look at the shorts. And my feed, I get a lot of kind of new agey and quantum mechanics kind of shares on spirituality, and it's all really fascinating. And it just tweaks my mind a lot. But, you know, the delusion is that there's any solution for me there. This is it for me. 12-step recovery in various fellowships is the only thing that I've seen that can work for me. And I'm sometimes very subject to the delusion that I can find what I'm looking for outside of a complete program that starts with step one and goes all the way to step 12. So I'm really grateful. And I just want to express I'm so grateful for Vision for You. This is some of the best sharing and just some of the best things I've ever found in my life. In all the years that I've been in recovery, which is about 3 decades, this is I'm really, really, really grateful to be a member of Vision for You in OA. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you. You know, we have time for 1 minute share where I could close it down. Whatever you guys want. Who wants it?
Vanessa G.
All right. You got 1 minute.
Okay. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the strong language that they use in this chapter to smash our delusions. And you can cut me off if it takes more than a minute. Mentally different, countless vain attempts, the great obsession, abnormal drinker, disillusion, pursuing insanity and death, the delusion, every form of self-deception and experimentation. Victim to a belief, puzzled and humiliated. The peculiar mental twist, helpless, gone beyond recall, utter inability, desperate experiment, nervous disposition, not being any too smart, foolish idea, plain insanity, a lack of proportion, a lack of ability to think straight, curious mental phenomenon, insanely trivial excuse, the insane idea, insanely specific expectation, having queer ideas of fun. Thanks. I'm done.
Ooh, okay, sorry about that. I'm over here talking. I was muted. Thank you. And thank you to everyone who shared and did service for this meeting. We ask you to stick around for the next unrecorded hour study if you want to keep on moving after closing here. So today's share ID, Friday, April 10th, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,355. That's 23355. And Marzi is going to close it out with a vision for you, part of the big book, starting with our book is meant to be suggestive only, keeping you till then. And then we'll pray the serenity prayer.
Thanks, Russ. And apologies for not introducing myself earlier. This is Maura Z, and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.